than Tveria. His name's Aaron Yosef Luria. Luria is a pretty Halligan name. It's amazing. It's tiny little pieces on different topics. Sefer is broken up. Parak Aleph, Yisodei Havoda HaPnimis. Parak Beis, Emunah B'Tachon. Parak Gimel, Kedusha V'Taras Amidos. Parak Dalet, Tefillah Mitzvos. So I figured we would do Parak Hay, Inyanei Tshuva. He has 16 pieces. Then he has a section on Shabbos and Wadim, and a section on Tzaddikim. And in the back there's beautiful, beautiful letters, Mechtavim, and a little Kuntras Achron, and Yanei Chassidus. It's very Gevaldik Sefer. Okay, so we have 16 pieces on Tshuva. I figure we do half this week and do half next week. But we'll see. Try to do 8 each week. I don't know. We'll see how far we get. Okay, here's what he says. Aleph. Gedola Tshuva. You'll see right away what his style is. He takes a Maimer Chazal, or an idea you've heard of, and says something very fresh, but very pashut and deep at the same time. So, says the Gemara in Yoma, great is tshuva, that for a single individual who does tshuva, mochlin lo ulechol olam kulo. One person can tip the scales. It's like that Gemara in Kedushin I mentioned the other day. Right, that if a person does tshuva, he should realize the whole world could be saved through his efforts. Okay, but who's this yachid? So he says a very deep thing here. He says, "Who's this yachid? Harem is yachid gematria lev. Yachid is gematria lev, meaning a person is also made up of many parts. Right, my leg has to do tshuva, my arm has to do tshuva, my eyes have to do tshuva, my throat has to do tshuva. The many parts of the bodies have to do tshuva. But there's one part of the body, and if it's beautifully, before we've been learning in Igaras at tshuva, there's one part of the body that if this part does tshuva, be'emes, then the whole world, meaning the olam katan that is man, will follow in turn. So he says, if the yachid, begamatria leiv, if the heart can do tshuva, then what? Va'adam nikra olam katan. You have more copies? Boker Tov. And then the rest of the body, which is called the Olam Katan, that is man, Shafilu Asa Tshuva Rak Belev. If a person can move his heart, Be'emes, if the heart can return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, U'mischarit Be'emes Alav Onosav, and the heart, which is the command center of a human being, the center of his existence, can really feel Charata, then Mochlin Lo. Then that could bring Tshuva to him. And by extension, all the other limbs of the body will follow after. Hainu L'chol Eivarim Shechatu B'masa. It's a big yisod because sometimes, again, a person says, oh, I'm so much nichshol with this limb or with that limb. And I get focused on that as opposed to trying to recognize what is the key limb that controls all of my feelings and emotions and sends out directives to the rest of the body. And if I can get my heart back in the right place, if that yachid, begamatria lev, can come back, then everything will come back. Yeah?
So, the last letter of the Torah is the first letter of the Torah.
Totally strange, like everyone says, you know, the last line of the first letter of the Torah, Lev. Yeah, but it starts with Beis and ends with Lamed. But if you almost understand that the whole idea of tshuva is in reverse, right? So it's called Torah Kula, but it's from Lamed, the Lamed that ends the Torah, Leinei Kol Yisrael, all the way back to the Beis of Bereishis. That's the all-encompassing tshuva. Yes, very good. Very good. Okay. Beis. Hashiveinu avinu l'sora secha v'achazirenu b'shuva shlema. So he talks about something that we've spoken about a lot of times in terms of what's and when's the time to do tshuva, in terms of its connection to Talmud Torah. A person should take even a few seconds before you sit down to learn. This is not just an El Eitza, this is a Kol Hashana Eitza. That every time you sit down to learn, you should just pause for a second and have a hearer tshuva. Why should I have a hearer tshuva? Well, a hearer tshuva could make me from being a Rasha who's pasul eidus into a tzaddik. What does it mean a Rasha pasul eidus? So when I study the Torah, there's an element of eidus involved. So I want to make sure that I'm not pasul eidus. I want to be a kosher yid when I study Torah. But more than that, he quotes the pasuk, Ule Rasha amar Elokim malecha lesaper chuki. We say to the We say maybe we'll see if we can reel him in for a couple seconds. We say to the Rasha, right? What right do you have to study the Torah? So we mentioned in the past the famous question of Sur Meira Va'ase Tov. How do you read the pasuk Sur Meira Va'ase Tov? Sur Meira, remove yourself from negativity, Va'ase Tov, and then do positive things. What's the svara to read a kipshuto? That if I don't stop doing bad things, then I'm not entitled to do good things. What's the svara? If I still do bad things, why am I not entitled to do good things? There's a bear hate in Shulchan Aruch. It brings from the Arizal. It's pasha. The Gros says the same thing. Because if a person is rotten, and you pour, let's say a person is filled with bad midos and bad desires and bad behaviors, right? So he's overgrown, let's picture, with weeds. What's Torah? Torah's water. In my mela Torah. So what happens when you pour water on top of weeds? Meaning I want to grow things in my field, but I don't properly weed the field, I don't remove all of the things that are going to get in the way of my crops, the things I actually want to grow. And now I start watering the field, so I'm watering weeds. And I'm going to continue to grow all of that negativity. So therefore the Arizal says, and that's what he's telling us here, before a person learns Torah, you have to do tshuva. You have to do tshuva before you learn Torah, because otherwise you're just pouring the greatest water, the purest, finest, most powerful water on top of weeds, and what's going to happen? You're going to continue to grow. It's going to nurture the negativity inside of a person. Torah can be, the Gemara says in Yoma, a sam hamisa, it can be poison. If you don't use it right, it can be destructive. So therefore, traditionally, the Pashup Shan in Sor Meirah Ase Tov is what? Sor Meirah, stop doing bad things, and then Ase Tov, then do good things. Right? What does Sefer Chassidus say? Befrat, the Polish Chassidus of Ger, and Shemi Shmuel has it a bunch of places we saw that. Nezer brings this, his father. Right? Chadush Erim brings this. What does Chassidus say? No, Sor Meirah Ase Tov means stop doing bad things by doing good things. Because if I spend all my time, what's the mashal that the Ger Rebbe brings? Chadush Erim. If I spend all my time trying to clean up the mess, right? I'm rolling around in the mud trying to clean up, so I might end up getting even dirtier. Spending all the time being busy with my averos, trying to clean up my averos. Okay, so therefore I try to move past it by what? By just getting involved in a good thing, and a little bit of light can drive away a lot of darkness. That's the approach of Chassidus. But at the same time, it doesn't mean they're mutually exclusive. So the Avodas Pnim says, before a person learns Torah, a person should do tshuva. Because, God forbid, if not, we'll say about such a person, again, there is a reality in the Pasuk, Hashem says, you're a Rasha. What right do you have to touch my Holy Torah? Eliyesh beiz dargos b'tshuva. Mashem mafsik melachto mikanu lahaba v'kvar ino Rasha. What type of tshuva does a person do before learning Torah, and what type of tshuva do we do after learning Torah? That's what he's going to say. That's the chiddush he's going to add to this discussion. So far, all we've said is we've chazered a famous discussion, right? How do you understand Sur Meirah Va'aseh Tov, and the fact that a person should do tshuva before learning? But look what he says. There's two types. There's two elements to tshuva. That which a person stops sinning, mikanu laba. Meaning, when I sit down to learn, I don't have time now to clean up everything I ever did wrong before I learn. If I had to do that first, I would never get to learn. So what type of tshuva do I do right now? Right? I know I did some averos yesterday. Last night I did an averos. Now I come this morning and I want to learn Torah. So what do I have to do to be fit to learn Torah? I have to decide, mikanu l'haba, from this point forward, I'm not doing any averos. So Hashem says, wow, tzaddik. That's tshuva. That's what we learned in the Baal Tanya. That if I make a decision from now forward, I'm never going to rebel against the king again. That's tshuva. The kvar ino Rasha. I'm no longer a Rasha. I'm not pasul le'edus. I have a right to learn Torah. Ki azav darcho hara, because he's abandoned his wicked ways. V'zevadai tzarech lios kodem liman Torah. And that becomes the heter, so to speak, to learn. Once I've made a decision, Hashem, I'm yours. Kabbalah somachas shemayim. Give myself over to Hashem. Now I have a right to learn. No, what about all the things I did wrong in the past? So look what he says. Avadayin ein zeh tshuva shleima, ad sheyitakin gam ma shechatar achshav. You have to clean up everything I did wrong in the past. Now, I can't wait to clean up before I learn, otherwise I'll never learn. So therefore, the tshuva that I do before learning is that mikanu l'haba, from this point forward, I make a decision, Hashem, I want this Torah to inspire me and transform me, that I'm never going to do an avera again. What about all my past? Alkein, al tshuva shleima, anu mevakshim. What do we say? Hashivenu avinu l'sorasecha. That after Hashivenu avinu l'sorasecha, Yeah, v'achzirinu b'tshuva shleima. Then we come to tshuva shleima. Right? Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us back to Torah. Ah, but there's tshuva even before Torah. True. There's tshuva, I'm not going to do anything ever again. That gives me a heter, HaShivinu Avinu L'Sor HaSecha, now I can learn Torah. And then, v'achzirinu b'tshuva shleima. Then I say, after I've learned Torah, okay, now I still have to, I can't pretend the things that happened in the past never happened. I still want to properly deal with them. And then I use the Torah. You see what he's doing here? I use the Torah that I learned, which hopefully now I've been transformed, and I can use that to what? To use that newfound strength to clean up the mess of the past. If I spend too much time before I learn Torah, if I spend all my time worrying about my past, I don't have the tools to clean up. The Torah is the cleansing power to clean up. Right? Through the Lima Torah, now I know what Hashem wants from me. I know the Ratzon Hashem. And he says, look, second to last line, now I know how umalitakin, right? In what way? And with what means I'm able to mitakin. Bizchus haTorah shalaman misiato lezeh. And the Torah that I learned will then help me to clean up my mess in the past. So I think it's a very, I think, again, you see Svarim talking about you should do tshuva before you learn. Other Svarim seem to say, we just have to learn. There's no time. So here he's being mechalik. The tshuva of Lakanu Labas to be before the Limud. And then after I learn, and hopefully I'm stronger now, I'm a better Jew, now I can try to really understand from my new view and my new understanding of Kedusha, of Torah, of godliness. Now I can look back and say, I'm such a fool for what I did in the past, and I can have a sincere charata, because I'm holding it in a good place. I'm not worried I'm going to get dirtier by playing in that mud. Yes, Shimon Michal.
Is this like what we're doing in the Tanya? Before
Christians
do the tshuva, like through
later,
you say, I'm not doing the same.
Right,
the thought. And then as you're doing that,
right, the kapara will come. Right.
The second one is kapara.
Right, exactly. So here he's using Torah as the cleansing agent. Right? We spoke about fasting, we'll talk about tzedakah. So he's saying Torah, once you've learned, again, you do the tshuva of the movement of the heart, right, which makes you right to learn. And now once I learn, then I use the learning as my what? I use, when a person feels good, you learn Torah, you feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you use that at that moment when you're in a safe place to look back and then to say, ah, oh, I have charata. If I'm just gonna start with trying to feel bad about what I did in the past, I don't have the tar, I don't have the kedusha to clean it up with. That's what I need Torah for. I need Yom Kippur for. I need fasting for, I need tzedakah for. Right? But Torah becomes a tremendous tool to clean up, but I have to get to Torah first. So he says, that's what we're davening every day. Hashivenu avinu l'sor asecha. Allow me to learn Torah. Meaning, let me do a tshuva enough that I feel that I can learn Torah without watering weeds. And then, use that Torah to what? Hachzirenu b'tshuva shleima. Okay? Gimel. Hashem melech, Hashem melech, Hashem yimloch li'olam ved. This is, I love this one. I want to declare right now that Hashem is king. In this moment, I want to be able to scream Hashem Melech. At this moment in time, right here, right now, right on Rosh Hashanah, when we crown the king. Rav Soloveitchik used to always talk about his memories as a child and seeing all the Chabad Hasidim in the town in Chaslavich where he lived. Right, and how they used to speak about the coronation night of crowning the king, the coronatia of crowning the king, right? To scream out Hamelech on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is called Hayom. Hayom. Where do we see Rosh Hashanah is called Hayom? So you have many Mamari Chazal, Rashi at the beginning of Eov says that when the Satan at the beginning of Eov, right, the story starts off, the Satan was roaming the world. It was Hayom. It was that day, and the Satan was out for a stroll. And he saw this tzaddik called Eov, and he figured he's going to have a little fun with him. He said, oh, he's such a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik because Hashem gave him a great life. He's not such a tzaddik. Let's beat him up and see if he still loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi there at the beginning of Eov says, Hayom is what? When was the Satan roaming around looking for, you know, people to test? It was Hayom. It was Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Right, we're going to read that also. Right before Rosh Hashanah. Mamish, the day before Rosh Hashanah. We're going to read Parshas Nitzavim this year. Hayom. Hayom haras olam, we say, in the Tfilos. Okay? So a person wants to, and the reason part of the Rosh Hashanah is called Hayom is because it's about what's happening right now. Right now I want to declare Hashem Melech. Nu, what's going to get in the way? Uvah yitzahara b'tayna min hayom sh'avru b'chei. But the yitzahara says, oh, all of a sudden, Hayom, today. Today you're so from, and yesterday Right? Yesterday you were a disgusting human being, was an unrefined person. With chatan, bin adam lakom, bin adam chavero. So what do we have to say? What do we say to the Yetzirah? What do we say to the Yetzirah? Who says, in the past you didn't hold the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right now you want to say Hashem Melech. So what do we say to the Yetzirah? He's explaining the order of, again, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. We say Hashem Melech. The Yetzirah says, what about yesterday? To which we respond, what? Hashem Malach. Hashem, oh really? Hashem Malach? What you did yesterday, that was Hashem Malach. Sarach la'ashiv lo Hashem Malach. Shegam ba'avar be'ezeh b'china shayisi. Yes, even in my past. Even in that moment when I was doing the Avera, lo yatzasi mirishus Hashem Yisbach. It wasn't the greatest expression of Kabbalah Samachus Shemayim. I did an Avera yesterday. But I still knew in my heart of hearts that Hashem Malach. I knew that even at the moment that I was doing the Avera, that I wasn't completely outside of Hashem's Rishus. Ki malchuso b'chol mashallah, because Hashem governs all. And even in that place, even in that Galistic state, right? Like the Gemara says in Megillah, Sechas Megillah, when the Jews go into Galus, the Shechina goes with them. So when a person does a Galistic act, the Shechina is still with him. So even in the past, Hashem Malach. So the Yetzirah comes to you and says, really? V'achar kach ba Yetzirah la pilo. The Yetzirah says, but this isn't going to last. You're claiming right now, Hashem Melech. And now you claim that in the past you still had a little bit of iskashrus to Hashem. But how long are you going to keep fighting? Look how dangerous the world is. You think you can hold on? You know, a lot of good people who had their stage where they were from and they were into it and they were learning and they were shtaging and they were growing and they were davening and they were going to mikvah and they were saying tikkun klali and they were being tzaddikim. Right? And now they're regular people. At best, you know, they're parv Jews who still keep a little bit. They're not fired up, so you think it's going to last forever. So we say back to the Yetzirah, he says to us, Lotuchal, top of the left column, Lotuchal, Amud Bavodas Chalasim, it's not going to last. So we say to the Yetzirah, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Vaed, Uhu Yeh Be'ezer. You say to the Yetzirah, he's explaining the order, Hashem Melech, right now I want to say Hashem Melech. A Jew always has to live in the moment, right now I want to say Hashem Melech. But the challenge is, the Yetzirah is going to be very cynical. What about your past? What about your future? Vaser Satan, we say every night in Mar, Vaser Satan, Mi Lufanenu, U Mi Achareinu. Remove the Satan in front of us and behind us. That's the Satan. He says, what about your past and how are you going to make it in the future? So we say to the Satan, Hashem Melech. He says, the past? Yes, Hashem Malach. In the future, you think you'll be able to hold on? Yes, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vad. It's mamish, it's a strong kavanah when a person says these lashonos, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. To say that even in those moments in the past when I messed up, I still believe that Hashem, my heart of hearts. And right now, Hashem Melech, I really feel it strong. And if the Yetzirah is going to be cynical and say, yeah, okay, so you're having a moment of Yisoris, but it's not going to last. So preempt that by saying to the Yetzirah, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Vad, Hashem is going to rule forever. And I'm going to do whatever I can with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help to make sure that I'm able to hold on. Okay, Dalet. The beautiful Torahs, no? Everyone's a gem. I don't know, I love these. Over Adam Avera, a person does an Avera and he repeats it. Nasa Loka Heter. Famous Gemara in Yom HaPeh Vavam Abez. A person does an Avera the first time. And then he does it a second time. Then all of a sudden, Nasa Loka Heter, it becomes Mutter. So the Gemara says, it becomes Mutter? It becomes Mutter? So no, in his mind, it becomes Mutter. The first time he did the Avera, I was like, whoa, that was a huge deal. But the second time already, you're not as bothered. And that's an indication that it doesn't, you know, you don't even hold it to be such an Avera anymore. And then over time, Bechlal, it becomes like a big mitzvah by it. Okay? So there's a danger when a person repeats an Avera, that he's transforming that which should be really jarring and should be really upsetting, all of a sudden he's becoming, you know, casual with it. Doesn't bother him as much. Nas lokater. Nira shezed dafka kishalon eschari bein time. Now this is a chashuv yisora. They're beautiful kavanas, simple and clear kavanas, and tremendous techniques. He says, Nira, when do we say that if you do an aveira and repeat it, then it's as if it's already hetter, that you're already to transfer, you're starting to change your attitude and mindset towards the Avera, ki'ilu, it's not even usr. And there's a danger. The repeat offender has a danger of becoming casual, not being bothered. Right? Think about a person who's, you know, was going through amuna issues, and he's starting to question, and he still feels a certain social pressure to be from, right? And he still hasn't done certain things, and he's very frightened to do it. And one day, and one Shabbos in an act of rebellion, he says, you know what, I don't believe in this anymore, I don't care for this anymore. It's Mechal Shabbos. Right? And it's very jarring. I mean, he came to that decision that he doesn't care anymore enough to do it, but it's like really shocking. Right? That first time a person did such a thing. But then, you know, by the next Shabbos, it's not like I haven't done this before, right? And before you know it, Shabbos doesn't mean anything to him. He spends all of Shabbos at the beach or at the mall, and he doesn't care anymore. This was a person who was firm once upon a time, right? So over time, it doesn't bother him anymore. So says the Avodas Pnim, if a person does tshuva in the middle, right? When do we say that the Averos are compounded one upon the other to the point that a person can be can lose the sensitivity entirely? That's dafik shalon is tzarid bein time. If he doesn't have a feeling of charata in the middle, avalam asa tshuva v'nischarid in mitzdarfin. That's why it's so important. If a person does an avera, it's very important to try to immediately respond to it. The Gemara says if you see a talmid chacham who did an avera, by the next morning he has a cheskes kashrus, because you know for sure that immediately after the avera he did tshuva. That's how we have to be. We make mistakes, but we have to try to do something right away. Because if we allow the averas again to pile up, even if you know, let's say a person knows that a person's planning on being nichshol in multiple averas, right? It's hard as getting the better of it. So to have charata to break apart the averas shouldn't lock and link, is a very chashuv thing. Nasa lokahetar again comes about when there's not hiruri tshuva breaking it apart. When a person does an avera, a wall is being built between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rakshiyesh bo sadakim, but the wall still has what? Has cracks in it. The wall has not been, right? It's like, you know, you pour cement. Let's say they're fixing the sidewalk. They pour cement, yeah? So those first moments after they pour cement, it's not automatically hard. If you come out there with a stick and you write your initials in it, you know, you could still, but it's going to become cement. Okay, it's going to become cement. So the same thing, you do an Aveira, and a wall between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being built. It's not solidified yet. There's still cracks in the wall, right? The wall is not firm yet. No one does an Aveira completely. So the first time, that first wall, that first layer that's being put into place, dividing you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you do the Aveira the first time, you still feel a little bad. The wall is not firm. Now at that point, that's the time to make sure the wall doesn't become firm. Right? There's still cracks in the wall. There's still a flow. There's not yet a wall separating you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from your source. And therefore, there's still thoughts of tshuva that are trickling through. But when you do the avera again, if you didn't really work to remove that flimsy wall in the middle, so they put up another wall, and another wall, and another wall. And before you know it, the wall is so thick that it becomes an impenetrable wall. Misava ha-mesach, the divider, thickens. Vishuv ein libo shavur bekirbo, and then you don't feel as bad the second time. Because again, as the wall between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thickens, you're not able to get those drops of tshuva that are flowing through, that are trickling through. Bezen nasa lo keheter, kamo kesha adam, memale ta'avaso beheter. Right, then you start to be the type of person where it doesn't bother you at all. And if you start to do things without any feeling, Rabbi Rizush used to say, I never saw a Jew make a l'shem yichud over doing an avera. You know, I never saw someone make a suda to celebrate. I never saw a Jew make a suda to celebrate an avera. We make a suda when we finish a masechta. Right, we say l'shem yichud before we do a mitzvah. But I never saw a Jew do an avera with all his heart and all his soul. Which means that there's always little cracks, right, in that wall of negativity that's being built between you and Hashem. But if I keep doing it, and I keep doing it, and I keep doing it, and I don't make sure to tear down those flimsy walls, eventually those flimsy walls add up to something. Right? You can have a small piece of rope that if you just pull at it, it'll snap. Right? The Medrash brings this mashal. But the Medrash says, if you have a lot of them, and you twist them together, it's not so easy to break apart them. But every one is not so thick, it's not such a big deal. This, by the way, that's the Gemara at the end of Sukkah. You know the Gemara at the end of Sukkah, when Hashem slaughters the Yetzirah? Right, the Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Sukkah says, Hashem one day is going to take the Yetzirah, he's going to shecht him in front of Tzadikim and Rishon. And what are the Tzadikim going to say? Tzadikim are going to be crying, and Rishon are going to be crying. Everyone's going to be crying. The Tzadik's going to say, how did I conquer this huge mountain? Right? He sees what the Yetzirah was. It's unbelievable that we were victorious. Tears of joy, perhaps. What about the Rasha? The Rasha's crying because he says, why wasn't I able to what? To overcome this little thread. So which is it? Is the Yetzer Hara like a little thread or is the Yetzer Hara like a big mountain? So I believe the Chiddush HaRim said, Yetzer Hara is a mountain of threads. That means if I understand each one, every little Yetzer Hara, I should be able to win. The problem is, I look at the Yetzer Hara and I let him build up. I let him, again, it's compounded one on top of the other, that a flimsy wall, and another flimsy wall, another flimsy wall, another flimsy wall, each one should be easily removed. But at this point, I've got this thick wall in front of me. And even if every wall has little cracks in it, right? But once the cracks are not in the same spot, so as it starts to pile up, even if the wall right in front of me has cracks, but it's being blocked by the wall behind it. And it becomes compounded and compounded. To the point that the Hirhurei Tshuva are not trickling through anymore. And therefore, when a person does the Aveir and he repeats it, he says five lines from the end, Nasa Mesach Mavdil Av, K'mo Min HaHeter. It becomes a solid wall. It becomes, God forbid, a solid wall. Valkein. Yeshli is Daris. A person has to try immediately. What's that stand for? Yeshli is Daris. What's that, Rashi Tevos? Immediately Betshuva. Yeshli is Daris. We are viach shem acher kach talk for you. Ah, tekev from yad. Shkoyach. I think like toch kedei dibur or something. Okay, so he needs to respond immediately to do tshuva. We are viach. Thank you, Rabbi Zviel. See, I told you we need Rabbi Zviel. Assistant Rabbi, can't do it without you. We are viach shem acher kach talk for yitzov v'nichshol. If a person is nichshol, afterwards ain mitzdayif l'rishon. V'kein kisha osik bin yoni heter li'zar lasos b'yira. For lo believe shalim lamalas tavaso, rachmana litzlan, and so too, even if a person is osik in a permitted pleasure, right? We have to try to make sure that what? That too also shouldn't be done, believe shalim. Even the things we're allowed to enjoy in this world. Because again, God forbid it could become a source of blockage between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, kidei shalo yasa mesach mavdil v'yuchli is davik b'ashem yisparach. Gavaldik. Okay, hey is very interesting. To what degree should a person confess his averos to Rabim or to others? Let's say you have a friend, and you get chizik from telling each other, you know, things that you're struggling with. That might be a very good thing, but you have to be careful about one thing. Let's say a person, right, really is struggling and feels he has no Yirah Shemayim, that he's just not a God-fearing individual. Turn to page 2. You're not allowed to say such a thing out loud. Can't tell it to someone else. Why? I'm turning to my friend. The Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, "Daiga believe ish yasichenu." Right? In Pasuk in Mishlei, "Yasichenu la'acher." The Gemara says, "Talk it out with someone else." So when I share my struggles with another person, he can hopefully help me. Look at the Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos on Asei Lecha, Knei Lecha Chaver. Right, say l'charab, k'nei l'chachaver. Acquire for yourself a friend. One of the things that a friend is for, says Rabbeinu Yonah, to help mechazek me, that I should be a good Jew. That my friend should be able to say to me, "You're better than that." So maybe I should confess to my friend. Why can't I say b'peh mole, "I have no yirah shamayim"? So he says, "Aser to say such a thing." Aser lo lomar kain the pivli shacher. You're not allowed to say such a thing, even if you feel that it's true. Why? It's a chutzpah for a Jew to say such a thing. Ah, but I feel that way. But it's a chutzpah to say such a thing. Lomar, ein ani yarei shemayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. Hashem is right here. And I'm basically saying to the king's face, now again, you might feel, but that's exactly my problem. I don't believe in the king. I'm struggling. But it's a chutzpah to utter such a thing. Okay? What do you think the pshat in this piece is? He says, a person, again, you're not allowed to say such a thing unless you say it from a really broken place, right? that it pains you more than all of the Yisurim in the world. And the Iker is not to declare one's shiftless, rather that one should know it himself. Rak leida inish minafshi, should know it internally. What do you think the pshat in this piece is? I think you can learn it a couple of different ways. Yeah?
Really?
What's the point? I mean, he's telling us part of the point is that it's chutzpah to say such a thing. Right? I mean, there's a mitzias of lochal arts kvodo, that Hashem fills all reality. And therefore, even if you feel that way, even if you hate the king, you don't walk into the king's chamber and say it to his face, I hate your guts. There's a certain element of chutzpah, even if it's true. Even if it's true. Right? So he's saying, even this Jew who says, that's how I feel about Hashem, but Hashem's right in front of you. Shavisi Hashem l'naydi tamir. Lochal arts kvodo, it's a mitzias. Yeah, so say this. What do you want to say?
Power of Dibor, the power of Dibor is a very big power of Dibor. So, I keep saying, like, oh, I have no Yeshua, I have no Yeshua, like, it could become a Metzias.
Oh, so, right, so Dibor, the Koach of Dibor is a creative power. Speech creates. Speech creates. A person looks at a little Shepsala, and you say, this Shepsala is for the base of Mikdash. You just transformed, right? Talking last week about, you know, kinyan mamun, kinyan iser, a chalos, a transfer, a status change. That sheep just underwent a status change. A person can't use that sheep anymore for inyani rishus. It has kedusha now. It's been transformed for the base of mikdash. Talmud Torah can I get kulam? Yerushalmi says lashon hara can I get kulam? The biggest mitzvah, the biggest aveir on the books, is what is through the koach hadivor. So for a person to keep saying over and over, you're creating mitzias. You're creating mitzias of that I don't believe in Hashem. Okay, yeah, I think that's a good point. What else?
Hashem's like Malil Kalitz Kavoda, and you say I'm Meir Shemaim, and at that time, you're like limiting your ability to have your Shemaim. He's like Malil Kalitz Kavoda, so it's available to you at any time.
Oh, so you're saying the possibility of getting out of that state is always available to you. Okay, I hear. I think also, and I'm seeing this, I'm going to say this point because I see it a lot. I see it a lot with people a few years after yeshiva. You know, if a person gets married and settles down, so usually they're a little more stable. But like I said the other day in the shmuz from Rav Arla Roth, you say, I don't trust Bachrim. Right? Because a Bachr is just like, he's not a settled human being. There's no real yeshiva das. And he said, let's see what he's going to look like when he gets married. Let's see if he can get married. Right? Let's see what type of wife he's going to choose for himself. What type of home does he want to build for himself for the rest of his life? That'll say a lot more about him than how he looked Shana Aleph, you know, the first time he pulled his tzitzis out. Which was cute and sweet and everything, but it's not an indication of necessarily where the M is holding. So there's a danger, and I see this a lot, that when a certain chaver starts to slip, can have a very, very strong hashpla on people around that person. Alright, so at first, like, you know, there's like there's the people who are like not from, and then there's the people, my chevra who's from, and I hang out with my from chevra, but as some of the members of my like from chevra start to become a little more chilled out, to use Lashon B'nai Adam, yeah, so then I start to become a little more chilled out. So I start telling people, you know what, I don't have your Hashemayim. So someone might say, I hear that. You know, and then they start to not have Yiras Shamayim. If someone starts to do something that they didn't used to do, right? They weren't accustomed to doing. Now their friends as well. You know, he's a good guy, and he's doing it. So maybe I'll start to do that now. So there's a danger. I think it relates back to what Rob was saying, that when a person says something and gives it a certain akvias and solidifies it and gives it a metzias, then it can have a negative hashpah on someone else. And that's why the ikar, he says, is that a person should know internally where he's holding, and not to declare it to others. But I think a combination of all these points are true. Okay. In the first section of the Sefer, the pieces like are really, you have to like really like learn them up. Here is, I think this piece there's what to think about. The other ones I think were a little more clear in terms of what the vard was, what the point was.
What was the last line you said?
Coming from Yeah, so he says, right? If he says it in a broken type of way, then his friend's not gonna feel comfortable with that. If he's crying to his friend, I have no Yiras Shamayim, that's powerful, and that's not gonna drag anyone else down, and that's him crying to the king. You're right? Your honor, I want to love you more, I want to respect you more, I want to fear you more, but I don't. So the king's not gonna say off with your head, but if you stand comfortable before the king without any sign of remorse or regret or feeling disappointed and just say, yeah, I don't hold of you, I don't fear you, I don't believe in you, I don't honor you, and you're not moved by that, so then what right do you have to say such a thing? Off with your head. If you say it from a broken place, so then at least that itself has an element of respect to it. I think that's what he's saying. Okay, Vav. B'tchila k'shirotz adam l'achzor b'tshuva tzarech she'asiach daito mechata'av k'ilo chata me'olam. Again, this goes back to the Sormei Rav Asei Tov type of idea. A person has to lie to himself a little bit to do tshuva. Because if I think too much about my averos, it's going to be the most paralyzing thing in the world. So when a person begins that he wants to do tshuva, tzarech she'asiach daito mechata'av, he should distract himself, he should remove his mind from his sins, k'ilo lo chata me'olam, as if he never did an aver in his life. He should say this today, right? Hayom haras olam, like we say on Rosh Hashanah. If we say on Rosh Hashanah, Hayom haras olam, today is the birth of the world. Today is the birth of my world. I'm starting fresh. That seems a little naive to ignore everything that I ever did. But the only way I can believe in the ability of ischadish is to say, to declare yourself chadash, to be like a tinok. Like the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, "Va'yigbal libo b'darchei Hashem, gaiva de kedusha." It's a little bit haughty, but a person has to elevate himself, to lift himself up out of the hole that he's dug, that he's sunken into with his averos, and declare himself that he's starting fresh. Okay, that idea you find in a lot of svarim. But look at the chiddush he has here. "Valze amru chazal," he says, this is maybe the pshat in Yom Chavtesamet Aleph. "Here hure avera koshim me avera." Thoughts of an avera can be worse than an avera. So normally we think that means the way the Nefesh HaChaim explains. Right? The way the Nefesh HaChaim explains. When I do an action with my body, so then I'm sinning, so to speak, in the realm of asiya. But if I do an action in my mind, if I'm thinking something bad, my mind is even deeper, it's more spiritual. And therefore, in a certain sense, it's worse. To think sounds strange. Most of us would imagine what it means. It's better not to do it. Right? You tell me it's better to actually do the aver than just to meditate, to think about the aver, but in a certain sense, right? If I bring the idea into my heart and into my mind, the Nefesh HaChaim says, then you're worse. What's the mashal he gives? You're worse than who? You're worse than Titus HaRasha. Titus HaRasha took a zona into the physical Kodesh Kadashim and did disgusting things there, horrible things. When a person has Yerhur Avera, so you're, this is even more Kodesh Kadashim. Hashem wants to dwell inside of us. So this is Kodesh Kadashim. Your heart's Kodesh Kadashim. Your mind's Kodesh Kadashim. So when a person brings bad thoughts into his heart and mind, in a certain sense, you're worse than Titus HaRash. In a certain sense. Okay? That's normally how we understand Herhure Avera Koshim Me Avera. By the way, Sifrei Chassidus point out, what's the Rashi Tevos? Herhure Avera Koshim Me Avera. You gotta do the word scramble, jumble. What did I say? Maka. What's a maka? A fence. What does the Torah say? Make a fence for your roof. No, where's your roof? Your head. Rav Davro likes to, he doesn't say this ram is over. Rav Davro likes to quote from the Shlach Kaddush. The Shlach Kaddush says, make a fence to your roof, right? Is a reference to Shmiras HaMachshava. But I saw from one of the tzaddikim once, in a sefer called Eser Oros, they says that's why Hirhure Avera Kosham Avera is Rashi Tevas Maka, because again you have to make a fence for your thoughts, for your mind. Okay, but what's the Avodas Pnim saying here? It's Gavaldik. What's he saying? In what way is Hirhure Avera Kosham? Let's get back to the piece. The piece said what? When you want to do tshuva, declare yourself a katan and pretend you never did an avera. And in that sense, he says Hirhure Avera Kosham Avera, meaning. Meaning what?
You can't start.
Oh, right. The thought of I did so many bad things is worse than the Avera. Not that it's necessarily worse in terms of the I do a Avera versus thinking an Avera. In Halacha, in Nigla, Hashem Pshad is Hirhure Avera is less severe than actually doing an Avera. Nefesh HaChaim is giving us more of a Kabbalistic understanding that because I'm taking a thought of a machshava of Isra into my heart, into my Kodesh Kadashim, into my mind, so that's worse. It says the Avodas Pim, no, it's worse in the sense that it's even more paralyzing. When I did the Avera, right, I felt a certain degree of bad. But now reflecting on all my life's Averos, But wanting to move forward, I could be totally stuck. Because all the thoughts of who I used to be and what I used to do, that could be even worse than the Aver itself, because that could stop me from ever serving Hashem. I can't get past it. So therefore, I have to decide, holy chutzpah, I'm a tzaddik, I never did an Aver in my life. To get back on the derech, I have a holy chutzpah. And now that I've declared myself, like Rabbi Nachman says, to start over many times today. Starting fresh. Starting my whole life fresh right now. That's not fair. Yitzhara says, what are you doing? You're a cheater. You say, Yitzhara, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech. Leave me alone. Thank you very much. It's good to see you. Go bother someone else. Right? And now I'm a tzaddik. And I start doing mitzvos. And I do more mitzvos. And then he says, after a period of time without sin, then oz yikayim v'chatosi negdi tamir. Then I can be mekayim the pasuk that says, bring back the sins. V'chatosi negdi tamir. My sins should be before me always. Then I bring it back and I reflect on it and I'm brokenhearted and I do proper tshuva. But again, there's a danger of here. The thought of everything I used to be and everything I once did, that could be the greatest threat to a person. Hashem understands there's ups, there's downs. We got to be able to move forward. But if I feel paralyzed by my averos, that's the most threatening thing of all. Okay? Next, Zayin. V'chatasi negdi tamir. Hagam shitzarech lahamin shashem yizbarach hu tov v'salach, even though we have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will in fact forgive me and is willing to forgive me, b'vaday mochel mavakshem slicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is willing to forgive any person who requests slicha, aval hachote atzmo tzarech sheyachsho sheineni yachol limcho la'atzmo. But we have to be very careful, and this is also really important, especially if you learn Sefer Chasidus, where there's so much ava and there's so much possibility of tshuva, and even the averos that Chazal say you can't do tshuva for, we'll come up with answers for how you can do tshuva for those averos. Right? And we could always come up with an answer, because Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me, and Hashem will forgive anything, true, 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 but Hashem has to forgive you. You can't forgive yourself. Again, you need to think, as much as I know and I believe and a Jew should believe in his ability to change and ability to get a really clean slate, but you have to remind yourself that it's not up to me to decide that. I can't choose that. I have to work towards that, and I know Hashem's going to forgive me, but I have to be careful that I don't convince myself that, you know, I'm pattering myself, I'm pardoning myself. I have to think to myself, I did a terrible thing, and I know Hashem will forgive me. But that's up to Him. I have to feel that from my end, I did a really bad thing. I knew the truth, I believed in Hashem, I knew this was wrong, and I did it anyways. Because of the drunkenness of the Yetzirah that blinded me from the truth. Even though Hashem is going to be mekabel me, you have to be careful that I can believe in tshuva, but I can't pardon myself. Hashem pulled me close time and time again. And then in a moment of Hester, right, when I had a perception that my father wasn't looking, Avinu Shema Shemayim, I sinned against him. And I threw away my clear mind. And I have to feel bad over that. A person has to be careful, again, not to focus on Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me, Hashem loves me, to the point that I give myself kapara, and I declare myself a Baal Teshuva. I have to make sure that while I know that Metzias, that Hashem is Tov Asalach, and Hashem will, in fact, Vadai, Bimochel, Mavakshim L'Slicha, but I have to be humbled before Hashem, and I have to be embarrassed of what I did. I have to know God gave me a mind to think, and a mind and a heart that knows be'emes that Hashem exists, and I still do averos, and I still can't control myself even when I know something's wrong. Yeah.
It's like a hard balance between this and Hashem.
Right.
You know, like, which one comes first?
Right.
Because like, when you do something, even when Hashem is something less than bad,
And how about the piece right before it, where I pretend I don't have any averos?
Yeah, like,
right? I mean, you're telling me, don't pretend you don't have any averos, start fresh. And then you're telling me, but don't be so confident as to give yourself tshuva. Okay?
Like, it's easy to sit in this, you know?
What, to sit in the what?
The last one just did.
It's easy to what?
It's like easy to fall, like just like sit in there and like get depressed over it.
I'm happy you put this piece in because I think it's easy to do the opposite.
I can't forgive myself for what I did.
Right.
I know Hashem loves me, but okay, that's great. I don't.
I know Hashem loves me, but I don't love what I did. I'm frustrated with myself. That Hashem, who does love me and has given me so many opportunities, and I keep slipping. Okay, so that's how I have to balance it with these other pieces. I don't know. But I'm happy you put this in. That, again, the sin has to be before me to the degree that I, right, before me. Before Hashem, machalach, machalach, machalach. But before me, there has to be an element of busha. So I don't cheapen the tshuva process by declaring myself, Hashem loves me. We know what all the svarim say about Hashem's love for me, so I'll just potter myself in that way. It's tricky, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Tommy.
Maybe you shouldn't think about this. Like, mamash, it's every time, but like, when you're coming to moments of gaiva or moments like, oh, things are so good, like, remind yourself, you once you sin, like, you're not
right.
As great as you think.
Okay.
So, like, it brings you some.
Right. But it's such a delicate balance. It's mamash a delicate balance. Look at the next piece, it's connected. We'll do one more piece and we'll stop. Again, I think this is connected. Connected in the sense that from our perspective versus Hashem, right? I think that's the diach. Let's go back to Zion. Just what pasuk is he quoting? V'chatasi negdi tamid. From Hashem's perspective, Hashem loves me and Hashem forgives me. From my perspective, right, my sin has to be before me always. So he says, look at Ches now. V'chzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. You see? I want the tshuva to be complete before you, Hashem. Look what that means. Perish. That Hashem, I don't want to ever decide for myself, I've done enough tshuva. I'm there. From your end, Hashem, I want you to forgive me fully because I want to have a clean slate. But I want it to be lefanecha. Lefanai, chatasi, negdi, my sins should be before me constantly. From your side, Hashem, there should be tshuva shleima lefanecha. Again, perish. But I don't want to know about that. Because if I become overly convinced that I'm in perfect standing with Hashem, so I'm going to lose my drive for trying to be better. The Baal Tshuva has to feel, again, he quotes the pasuk we just saw, the Chatasi Negdi Tamid, that from my end of the relationship, there's more to do. But I hope and I pray that from your end, Hashem, you love me with an ava that's b'li gvul, b'li tachlis. Rak anu mevakshim, may Hashem yisbarach shehu yodei hashir v'hagvul, sheyazer lanu laharbos kol kach b'tshuva ad sheyatukan mashe kol kam. Meaning on your end, Hashem, I want you to say, yeah, you finished your tshuva long ago. You get to the Olam HaEmes after a lifetime, and Hashem, you say, Hashem, I hope I did enough. And Hashem says, you way surpassed it long ago, years ago, you already accomplished more than I ever expected you to accomplish. So that's great, on Hashem's side. But on our side, I never want to become complacent in that way. And look what he says, that's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, famous Lashon, powerful Lashon of the Rambam, the second parak of Tshuva, V'yeir olav yodeir ta'alumos. Real Tshuva, complete Tshuva is when what? When the one who knows the secrets of the heart, who knows the depths of one's being, he's able to yeyidol, that Hashem can testify about you, shelo yashuv lezeh achet lo'olam. That Hashem can say, it's real this time. He's really not going to do it again. That's how it exists from Hashem's perspective. Aval tshuva atzmo, Aval tshuva himself needs to live with a pachad. A constant pachet, shalo yachzer l'suro, that he shouldn't go back to his old ways. The Chazal say, al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. And again, I think it's a challenging perspective, but it's a very chashuv yesod. To never feel that I've done enough. To never allow the mitzias that Hashem does love me and will forgive me. And there is no avera that I can't fix. To allow that to exist and to know that. And at the same time, to always feel a certain busha and a certain v'chatasi negdi tamid, and to always be working on myself to say that I feel that I haven't done enough, and the tshuva should only be shleima lefanecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I should never declare myself shalim in tshuva to the point that I'm not working on myself anymore. Yeah.
I think like, this is also becoming dangerous. You have to look in the right way. Like, can't be looking at the future, I have to be looking at the past. Meaning, like, if you're always thinking, oh, like, I'm never going to reach anywhere, no matter where I go, I'm always going to be, like, missing something. So, like, if you think this way, like, what's the point of keep going? Like, I'm still going to miss this, you're going to be missing. It's also, like, dangerous from this perspective. Like,
right, you can't
like,
feel...
If you're at one point, like, say, like okay, like, I still have something to work on, but, like, if you...
Yeah, you can reflect on where you've gotten to. The day again. That's why the only thing he's saying not to do is not to declare yourself shalim. Not to declare yourself shalim. What does it mean when the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there are 50 levels of understanding? And Moshe understood chamishim chaser achas. Moshe had 49 levels of understanding. 50 minus one. What is level 50? What was this level 50 that Moshe didn't have? And the Sfarim said that when he passed away, he finally got to level 50. Harnavo, Nunbo, he was in Arvos Moab, Moab is 49 in Gematria, and then he transitioned to Harnavo, Nunbo, get to level 50, right? Come to a complete Tikkun, come to the Nun, yeah? So what is level 50? So I saw the Eretz Tzvi, the Kadrig Lover Gon, brings from the Chedush Arim. He says, you know what level 50 is? Level 50 is knowing that I haven't even started yet. Meaning Moshe had level 50. Level 50 is chaser achas. That's what the Gemara says. There's 50 levels of understanding. Moshe had 50 minus 1. 50 chaser achas. Level 50 is the feeling of chaser achas. To feel like there's always something more to do. Or that I haven't even begun. That's how there's some of the Rishonim even learn. When Moshe says in Vaschanan, Ata achilos Hashem, you've just begun to show me your miracles. Just begun. The last 40 years, we've been best buddies. Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Moshe mean? Let me go on to Eretz Yisrael. I'm just getting started. What do you mean just getting started, Moshe Rabbeinu? The last 40 years of your life were entirely dedicated to Klal Yisrael. But that's how a tzaddik lives his life. That's what the Noam Elimelech brings in the back of the Sefer, in the Likutei Shoshana. He says, that's the pshat in what? What's the lashon? Pischuli Shari Tzedek, Avavam Odeka, Zeh Shar LaHashem Tzadikim Yavavo. The Tzadik sees himself as what? Pischuli, I'm just at the Pesach, I'm just getting started. So I think, Zeh Shar LaHashem Tzadikim Yavavo. So I think Tommy's right. You have to be able to look back and say, wow, I accomplished so much. I can't feel like I've never done anything. Right? But in a positive sense, I have to say, no, I've never done anything. There's so much to do that I'm not Shalim. I hope that that made a love, the Odeya Talumos, that Hashem will testify and say, what do you mean? You're Shalim, complete, you did everything and more. But from my perspective, I have to feel embarrassed, and Chatasi Negdi Talmid, and even the Avera that I did Tshuva for, there's a concept of doing Tshuva on one's Tshuva, right? That if I did Tshuva to a certain degree, next year when I understand Hashem that much better, I want to do Tshuva again, because what I called Tshuva last year is nothing compared to what I would call Tshuva today. So to do Tshuva on one's Tshuva is an Indian. Okay? Yeah, Rob, you wanted to say? Azriel, you wanted to say? Someone wanted to say?
The Lashon is not like the Lashon of I haven't even started yet. Like the Lashon of Enini Yachal Limchal Atzmi is much stronger than that. It's much saying I've done whatever I did and it's never going to go away.
Okay, so mitzad the adam, he has to say, I can't give myself tshuva. I can't declare myself as being about tshuva. Okay, so I have to live also with the feeling that I'm a katan genola and I never did an avera. I can never do tshuva and I never did an avera at the same time. Never did the avera. It's hard, these are hard things. There's no... To live with the balance of Swarmi Rav Asay Tov, like the Arizal says, and Swarmi Rav Asay Tov, like Chedush Rim says, and to live with the Avodas Panim who tells us, pretend you never did anything wrong, and the Avodas Panim who says you never did anything right. Okay. I always tell that story that when Rav Elia Lopian came and gave a Musar Shmuz in Slobodka, right? And afterwards, the Altar Slobodka went over to him and yelled at him and said, you can't speak to these Bachrim like this. And Rav Futner said, but Rebbe, I saw you were crying the whole time. You were so moved by the shmuz, by the divrei tocha, by the musar. So what did the Altar Slobodka say? I mean, again, he was criticizing the speaker for being too harsh with the bachrim, and at the same time, he was crying. He said it was such a beautiful, it was clear that his body language said he was so moved by it. So which is it? Was it inappropriate or was it appropriate? So what did the other Slobodka say? He said, a thing and its opposite, those are amongst the ways of God. And we have to be able to live at the same time with a contradiction. It was the most beautiful Musar Shmuz I ever heard in my life. And at the same time, I have to say, these Bachim are better than that, and how dare you say that they have these Averas and... Il velo. Okay.